We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I listen to your show every single day.
Breakfast Club. God damn it. Breakfast Club.
Put that ass up on the Breakfast Club.
Made it. You can't say Breakfast Club without being Breakfast Club.
You're like this rare air.
You got platforms and partners all over the place because your demand is so high. People want to be in business with the Breakfast Club.
I don't think white people know how popular you guys are.
DJ Envy, Jess Hilarious, Charlemagne the God.
You guys really are like the hip hop early morning and late night talk show.
Yeah, I know what y'all talking about.
This is your time to get it off your chest.
Keep calling. 800-585-1051.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, it's Brooke.
Hey, Brooke, good morning. Get it off your chest. Where you calling from?
I'm calling from Ocala, Florida.
Okay. Well, get it off your chest, mm-hmm. What's up?
Tired of being the chauffeur, running everybody around. Fiance, friends, kids, my kids. Right now, currently 6:12 in the morning and going 80 miles an hour on the damn highway.
Are you Uber
just
or are you
turn
just...
around and go?
Are you Uber?
Just a mom, stay-at-home mom. Always running everybody around. If it ain't Walmart, it's school. If it ain't school, it's someone's job. I don't ever get to sit down.
Damn. Well, damn. We appreciate your service, man.
Yeah. How many kids do you have, Mama?
I have two, but I take care of four.
Hey, well, that's
two
what
girls,
it is.
Two boys, four, six, and seven.
Well, we appreciate your service, and you should look at the blessing that you're not in a position where you have to actually go to a job. You're a beautiful housewife, and you holding it down for
yes!
your family.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, she got a
thank
job.
Thank you so much.
That job is job.
I do, and around. I don't ever clock out.
That's right.
28-8.
I know that's right.
Well, enjoy them kids, because they get old and fast, and they forget about you.
Dang. Oh, they do. They do. And I just want to shout out to Jess real quick. I just want to tell you how much I love you, girl. You are the reason why I listen to this radio station every morning.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You guys are the closest I've ever been to anybody famous. Yay!
What you calling? She said she calling her
Florida.
Florida. Okay.
Well, have a good one, mama.
I call every morning. I call, and I finally got through. So thank you so much. Good morning.
You.
I hope everyone have a great day. Bless.
You too, baby.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, good morning, this is Roxanne.
Hey, Roxanne, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Queens.
All right, get it off your chest, mama.
Hey, I want to know why when I pay taxes, my kids that's over 17 is not considered a dependent, and I can't get them those big tax credits everybody else getting for those kids under 17, when if they're 20, you have to pay child support for them up until they're 25 if they're in college, and for financial aid, they're still considered a dependent in my house.
Hey, well, when you find out, let me know, okay? Pass the plug, all
she
right?
She want to write the kids off.
Yeah, you can't. Look, ask those people running for office, like, these questions next time they up there.
I definitely will.
Okay. Well, thank you, mama.
Hey, thank you.
That's right. Tax season is here.
We do have to figure. Never mind.
What?
I was just about to say, man, we do have to figure something out with taxes, man. Like, it don't make no sense how much money that we have to pay in taxes, especially when these billionaires don't be getting taxed a goddamn thing.
Nothing.
Okay? Like, it don't make no sense. We do have to figure that part of the game out. Okay? When they talk about restructuring certain systems and organizations in this country, yeah, let's start with the IRS. Let's figure something else out.
Hi, good morning, IRS. I don't know what he's talking about. We're good over here.
I'm talking about wanting to pay less money in taxes. Okay? Clearly, I'm paying more than my fair share.
Me too,
I would
sir.
Like to pay less. We all would.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest.
Keep calling.
800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
This is Dee.
Hey, Dee. Good morning.
Good morning. I need to talk to my fellow lesbian.
What's up, Dee? How you doing, Dee?
Yes. Hi. How you doing? Now, Charlotte, Big Brother Almighty, what did the luxury size community do to you?
The who community?
The luxury size community, aka the Big Mac.
Oh, the luxury size. Yeah, I like that.
Oh, I love that, too.
We was talking about what word should we use to describe people. Instead that are heavy sex.
Instead of big
I like luxury
so,
size.
Our size is a luxury because we chew food instead of drugs and bullying. But what we do to you?
Nothing. Here's the thing. I didn't even know when Jess Hilarious was telling that story. I didn't even know the woman was a part of the Big Back community. I just said it sounded like
she
Big Back
She is a luxury size sister. But here's the thing. I know more slim chicks that ain't got played than us. They don't discriminate.
Okay.
And then on top of that, he was paying her bills.
He was paying her bills? Usually it's the other way around. Usually it's the Big Back paying the bill.
Luxury. He was paying the bill.
Listen, is Big Back really offensive?
And I don't like luxury.
I love the luxury size.
I like luxury size. Too.
But luxury just means expensive, don't it? It don't mean big.
Yeah. It's inflation right now. Food is expensive. It's a luxury right now.
Yeah, luxury means bigger. Usually.
Oh, yeah, in a sense. Yeah, luxury is big.
Okay. I like big. I think Big Mac is
Charlie, you're a mental health advocate. You can't put that narrative out there like we just all desperate. That's not the case.
You're right. But I just said in that case, it did sound like Big Back behavior. And I was right. So is it a stereotype if it's true? I didn't know she was big.
They just don't like the term Big Back. But luxury means extravagant living. It means opulence.
There I like are. Extravagant, too. Extravagant size.
Extravagant just means...
see, no, oh, my God.
Oh, that sounds big, though. Luxurious.
Premium?
Extravagant. Premium.
Yeah.
Premium size.
Mm-hmm. Premium.
All that sounds good.
Just now you're going to call them 93 octane? Like,
I'm just saying. Premium back.
Premium back.
Hello. Extravagant back.
I love premium back.
Premium back is good.
Jesus Christ. Hello, who's this?
Kerry.
Hey, Kerry, good
Hello,
morning.
Kerry.
I like to say Jess is doing a great job. I don't know what happened, but those comments got her working good, man. She's doing
She was
job.
Only doing a good job.
Yeah, what comments?
No, I mean, she's doing good. She's doing good now.
Jess Hilarious is her. She's been her.
She's relaxed.
You just can't say Jess is doing a damn thing. You ain't got to go to she's doing her thing now. She's killing it.
And she's killing it.
I appreciate you, Carrie. Thank you so much.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got some special guests in the building.
Yes, indeed.
We got little brother
little
here.
Brother.
Absolutely.
Fontaine, yeah. Big Pooh. How y'all brothers feeling, man?
Hey, man. Good, man. We alive.
That's all you can ask for nowadays,
that's
right?
That's it. 2024,
that's
man.
It. That's it.
Thankful.
They got the new documentary, Made a Lord Watch, The Little Brother's Story. Why that title?
I mean, first it... We started this when we were making the album, Made a Little Watch. Mm-hmm.
2018.
So this was kind of like to bring an end to that era. And it just made sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just really made sense. Like thinking about everything that we kind of went through and survived. The Lord had to be watching over us.
Yeah.
There was no other f***ing explanation. You know what I mean? So, nah, man, that was just kind of felt like a conclusion of that chapter. And, yeah, 5 years in the making, man. So it's out now on YouTube.
So you got to college and you guys met each other. So talk about that process, how you guys met. I know a lot of this is actually in the
definitely
documentary.
In the documentary.
Yeah, but how you guys met and what attracted you guys together, and then you started this rap group that became Underground Legends.
Man, it was it was very organic. I met Pooh. Well, first I met Ninth. We met... We met first in 98. So yeah, we met through a mutual friend. Ninth was on campus and he was we was moving in the dorm. Like we saw each other just in the dorm. And over Source magazine we started chopping it up. All this is in the doc, but long story short, we basically just kind of started, you know, working together. This was at a time when, you know, it was at the time, this is like 98. So this is when No Limit is like killing everything.
In the South,
you know what
especially,
I mean? Yeah, so HBCU, No Limit, at a, like the Ghetto D album drop my freshman year. That was all you heard in every room. Like, we was bumping that nonstop.
Nobody made crack like this.
Listen, what?
Ghetto dope.
Listen, man, we ran ghetto dope. So everybody was pumping that. So if you were a kid that was into, like, raucous or sound bombing, like, you know, meeting someone else that was into that, that was kind of rare. You know what I mean? So when you met somebody that was on that same wavelength, it's like, oh, I found my people. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of linked up and just started making records. And
for people out there, when he said ruckus record, you got to tell them, because some people might not know, because Ruckus doesn't
gotta
exist
contextualize
anymore.
It. Yeah,
Ruckus was the label that, you know, I would say.
Lyrical, miracle, spiritual.
Very
individual,
lyrical
criminal,
label.
Umbilical.
Lyrical. I like how he keep asking you questions.
Backpack rappers. That type of thing.
He can't help it, Jess.
You know, I just want to break down, because they said Ruckus. Somebody might not know what Ruckus
is. Yeah, Ruckus, nah. It was, you know, it was very much, they were like, it was an underground label, but it was, you know, I mean, most. Quali, you know.
Pharrell Munch.
Munch. It was like pretty much.
Eminem was on Ruckus Soundbomb.
Yeah, he was on Soundbomb, yeah. So they were just, you know, putting out amazing stuff that we really enjoyed. And so we just kind of started making records, put some stuff up on the internet, and we had
and
a record
what
deal.
Your sound is like today? For those who don't know, how would you describe your sound today, like now?
It's not the same.
Mm-hmm. It's not the same, but it's still us.
It's still us. Yeah. It's weird. It's like our sound has evolved musically. But it still sound like Little Brother.
Yeah, like when I had after our last album came out, May Lord Watch, and then we just put out two singles last October. With Wish Me Well and Glory Glory.
September.
Yeah, my bad. And one of the biggest compliments we got was that somebody said, "Yo, I can make a LB playlist from y'all stuff 20 years ago to now, and it sounds like y'all haven't missed a beat. I can't tell that it's dated. It doesn't sound. It still sounds timeless." And that was something I think we always strive for. So that's, if I had to describe it, I would just say it's timeless.
But you guys also came out in the era where the DJ and the producer was part of the group, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Whether it was, of course, Run DMC, Jam Master Jay, Fresh Prince and Jazzy Jeff, Salt-Pepa Spinderella.
Damn,
ain't
that old.
Gangstar.
But we rock up on that,
but Gangstar. But Gangstar.
Gangstar, yeah.
UGK. You
know, right. Nah, legit.
And Ninth Wonder was part of Little Brother in the beginning.
Yeah.
He's not here now, so what's the relationship with Ninth Wonder? Is there no more relationship?
There's no more relationship, but there's no, we talk about it in the doc, but nah, we're just separate entities, you know what I'm saying? Like, we came in the game together, but we're Little Brother, he's Ninth Wonder, and we're just separate entity that we coexist peacefully, you know what I mean? And that's just what it is.
But why didn't he participate in the doc, though? Because, I mean, this is the little brother's story.
That's a question for him.
Yeah.
The story is told, you know, but, like, I would like to have heard his perspective of it now as well. Did y'all reach out to him?
We reached out, you know what I'm saying, made it clear that, you know, this wasn't going to be a hit piece. We wasn't coming for nobody next, you know. We're just telling our story in just a beautiful, honest way. And he just chose not to participate, and that's his right to.
I feel like y'all set him up nice, especially when you first told the early story about... I forgot what album it was, but it was an album. I think it was Afura.
Executive
produced by DJ Premier, and he was like, "Yo, that's what I want to be." And one of y'all encouraged him, like, "Yo, you can be that."
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, yeah, man. We were always. I mean, we coming up. I mean, you got to keep in mind, like, dude, we like 19, 20 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, we're just trying to figure out, let alone trying to figure out how to be artists,
trying to figure out how to be men.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so, you know, trying to figure out all that stuff at the same time. I mean, man, it's tough. So, but we tried to tell the story just as honestly as we could. And, but you know, we can't speak for another person. We can mm-hmm. only tell our experience. Right. And so he chose not to, and that's his right.
Mm-hmm. You see evolution in it. I mean, you see dark skinned Leonard in there.
Absolutely.
You see Leonard with a hairline.
Yeah.
I'm like, that sound like, so I remember that man got hair.
He was showing everybody. He was like, look, I was like, oh my God, he looked like one of the kids from Lean on Me.
Oh, wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mr. Club. What year was that? 02, 03?
Nah, that was Mystery Show.
That was 05.
05. Yeah.
It was 05. Because I remember, that was 05. That was the only, we talked about it briefly on QLS, but yeah, that was the only interview that I missed. Because when we had to do that run,
I think your son.
Yeah, that was when my son was born.
His son was born, so it was just me and Ninth on that run. Mm-hmm. Every time I see that, I think about it because I wasn't as polished as I am now to doing interviews.
And none of us were.
I was looking at it. It was funny.
He was like, "Knife was asleep. Why was he on BET? I don't know. I don't work there. You trying to dance around? I ain't dancing nothing. I said I ain't work there. I said
raw ass Carolina.
That's what it was. Like, that was funny. That was blast from the past. Yeah, I think that was 05.
Yeah, it was 05. It was 05.
So when Ninth Wonder got the call from Hov to work with him, and Hov started doing production, do you think that production area kind of dismantled the group a lot?
Absolutely not.
Nah, man. Like, we was happy. We was excited for him. You know what I mean? Like, we got to go to Baseline and hear it before it came out, sitting there with Hov and all that. But, nah, we knew that's a big opportunity. It's Jay-Z. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
And you want stuff for your team. Like, you want, you know, if you, you know, studying hip-hop, most of the big producers, they get their start in groups. So we just saw it as just a natural progression, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it was amazing just to know that, you know, one of your homies can make a beat on his laptop and it ends up with Jay-Z rapping over. I mean, that was like, oh my God, like what?
All right, we got more with Little Brother when we come back. So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics,
Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, we're still kicking it with little brothers, DJ Envy, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha God. They're in the building. Jess.
How important is, like, awards to you? Like, and that, because you guys are very, very, very stern on who y'all are.
Yeah.
And all of that. And like you said earlier, you don't know if who you are is conducive to some shit like this. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, especially absolutely nowadays, and the thirst and, you know, versus hunger. So how important are award shows and, like, getting awards to artists like you?
Man, I'll go first. I was nominated, my other group, the Foreign Exchange R&B group, we were nominated for a Grammy in 2010. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity to go to the Grammys and really see what that experience was. And I think having that experience just showed me, like, yeah, it's kind of a racket, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just keeping it a band. I mean, it was, you know, it was great to be honored. But again, this is just the behind the scenes stuff that people don't get. You know what I mean? You know, when you go to these shows, first and foremost, you know, at least at that time, you know, you still got to buy tickets. You still got to pay for, like, this don't come with a check at all. Mm-hmm, you can get out there and you can try to make something shake on your own if you want to do, like, I know the Roots, they do their Grammy jam session every year, yep, whatever. So if you want to kind of do that, you can. But generally speaking, just as a nominee, like, everything is on you. So this is, you know.
You got to pay to go to the Grammys if you're nominated?
Yeah,
they pay for your flight.
They give you a ticket, but you get two tickets. Yeah, you get mm-hmm tickets for you. So at the time, it
then
was
they
like
give you some discount tickets,
right? So it's like, so if it's me and you, if me and him is Grammy nominated, it's like, okay, y'all get free tickets to the show, but anyone you want to bring,
gotta pay.
Y'all gotta pay, yeah, and we'll let you get it for half off, but you still gotta pay.
And how much is it? Half off still like $100 or something.
Oh no, not at the time when I did it.
Oh, well, I know when
I don't know what it is
when
now.
Dreamville was nominated and Luke went, he got a ticket. I think Doe got a ticket.
And I think any extra tickets would have been like $100 or something. It might have been more. I don't remember. Was I wasn't going, so I didn't care. You know what I mean?
I know that it was tickets even for the BET Awards at some point. Like, you had to pay. I remember I wanted to go 1 year, and I had to pay, like, it was like $340 or something like that. Yeah. I didn't pay
$340.
But I was
so we might have been getting a super duper discount.
At the time when we went, the tickets for the Grammys, and again, this is 2010, so, you know, I don't know what it is now, but this is 2010. Like, tickets for the Grammys, $1,200 a piece.
Oh, okay.
And so, in order for us to go, you know what I mean? Me and Nick, Nicolay, my partner, shouts to him. We went, and so our tickets were free, but then everyone else, like, we brought, you know,
family, everybody.
That was $600 a pop, you know what I'm saying? So that's $1,200 on tickets. Then you got, you know, hotels, flights, like, you know, you got to buy clothes, everything. We had to pay, like, a PR person, you know what I'm saying, to, like, to walk you the red carpet, to talk up your nomination and everything. And, you know, and I've never, like, we never talked about it. You know, it was something that we didn't just have time to get into the doc. But, like, man, after I came back from the Grammys, I had to take out, like, a personal loan. I'm like, God damn, I done spent about damn $8,000 at this, you know what I'm saying? So to your original question with the awards, I think that, in my experience, I was glad I got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I'm just like, I'm good. I don't care.
Because, again, it plays to image. It plays to image.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, it's all, you know, to be nominated for a Grammy, like, to be, you know, amongst, you know, to sit amongst, you know, be in that room and see it. Like, I'm watching the show, and it's like Kenny G is, like, standing right there, like, same hair, like, same everything. And that's another thing, too, with the Grammys, dude, specifically, like, y'all watch it on TV at home, and it's that, like, 3 hours, you know what I'm saying?
It's not 3 hours.
It's longer, isn't
it? It's longer. And with no, and you, it ain't no, at the time when we went, the Staples Center was, like, closing down. So, like, they have, like, the pre-Grammy brunch before, and, you know, you get a little food, whatever, and then they take you over to the main hall to the Grammy ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And all the vendors in the Staples Center, they shutting down. So it's no food for hours. It was, like, one dude we caught that had, like, the little, he had, like, some candy, and he had, like, you know, little Snicker bars and damn M&M's. So we bought, like, a couple, like, a bag of M&M's and some Snickers. We sitting in that goddamn, taking the M&M's, passing it down. And I'm like, this is supposed to be music greatest night, and I'm eating goddamn M&M's in the Staples Center.
Ain't no food?
Not when we went. I'm just telling, I don't want to speak about my experience.
I've never been to the Grammys, but I've been to a BET Hip Hop Awards, and
I know ain't no food.
That was about damn recording. That was about 5 hours, and I was like, hell no.
No food.
Nah, we went, like, I walked out. I left, though. We were supposed to present. It was taking too long, man. I had to go.
Oh, my God.
He really left. Like, we supposed to present. He was like, I'm giving y'all 10 minutes. I'm like, he ain't gonna leave.
He was there all day.
I'm like, he ain't gonna leave.
Nah, that's real.
He gonna leave. I envy. I'm like,
you know, I love it.
I'm like, yeah, I'm not beat for none of that stuff.
It's and I mean, like, for me, you know, yeah, it'd be cool to be nominated for a Grammy. I ain't never been nominated, but at the end of the day, it's, I can't be somewhere too long and not just say what I need to say.
Right.
So,
listen,
I just don't go to places where I'm going to be there a long time.
You might have to say something.
It might have to say something.
Let me tell you the truth.
And then learning what all this is. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a campaign.
It's a campaign.
It's not a meritocracy. Like, the minute you, and that was, I guess, the thing for me. But once I saw that, you know, it was really, you know, it's super political. It's super, you know, who you know. Like, it's a lot of those things. But, you know, for me, all I cared about was just making the music. And, you know, if my music is standing up against somebody, you know, just judging on the basis of the music. Once you're getting all this other shit, it's just like, again, it was educational. It's like, oh, okay, I know that's what it is now. All right, cool. I'm good on it. You know what I mean?
And that's the thing I want to make clear. It's not that we don't care.
Yeah.
We just understand what it is.
And what it's going to take if you want to make that run. It's like running for president. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Will we ever get a Fonte, Pooh, Knife Wonder reunion?
Nah.
Damn,
man.
Didn't even think about it. It was like, maybe there was a possibility for me a couple of years. Just why?
Be acting like they don't know. They don't understand.
I guess you don't know what the issue is.
From the jump, that's why we got to watch the doc.
Yeah, it's in the doc. I mean, we talk about everything,
man. Like, it don't seem like it's nothing y'all can't reconcile.
Didn't seem like they could be like at least a maybe.
It's just like, it's not even a thing about reconciling anything. It's just
alive, you know?
Yeah, it's just. that's just not what it's gonna be.
You know,
Little Brothers, Fonte and Pooh, and Ninth Wonder is Ninth Wonder, and you know, we wish him all the best, and you know, whatever all his endeavors, and we gonna keep doing us, and that's just what it is.
You gonna ask Beyonce what's up with Michelle and Kelly and Farrah and all
they
them?
Might y'all
gonna
get back?
They might not.
Come on, fam.
But Beyonce be like, no,
not with all them names. She said Farrah,
but it's not the same though. Because Destiny's Child, we got like it felt like we got closure with that. I don't feel like we got closure with Little Brother.
The documentary is closure.
Charlamagne. The documentary is all you gonna get.
Sometimes we not. Hey, we're not afforded the closure we want.
Damn. I know, I'm a girl,
but it's closure. You get the closure you get.
Well, definitely check out the documentary. Well, it's Little Brother. Now,
thank y'all for having us, man. This was a lot of fun. Just congratulations.
Thank you.
I love the Baltimore. I was hearing to tears.
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations, seriously.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
You're checking out The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about Charlamagne Giving out in Atlanta, of all places, this weekend.
Yes.
So what happened in Atlanta this weekend?
One of my friends called me and told me that he was creeping at a cheer convention. Mm. And I was like, uh-uh, that's because his family is there. He has, you know, a 15-year-old and a wife. And he was like, a wife? Oh, he was low-key giving, because I spoke to him and he was very much, you know, trying low-key give. Like, flirt with him. That's what he was insinuating.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, when I told him that he had a wife, he was so disappointed. He was like, see, that these married men be giving mixed signals. So
what mixed signals? Just because you nice to a human?
Mm-hmm. It seems like you do this because we have a young lady on the phone, or maybe a man. Let me see. And he or she says she met Charlamagne before and it was similar. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Hey, please
good
tell morning. Us
what's your name, Mama?
Hi, I'm Sharon.
Oh, Sharon.
Yes. So I want to just briefly talk about an interaction that I had with Charlamagne.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlamagne, this is going to be a compliment to you.
Okay.
So I took my kids. My daughter at that time was in her early 20s. My son was a 11-year-old. And you were at an event. I can't remember the event. And we stood on your book signing. We stood on your online to get the book signed. And you took the time with each one of my children and myself to speak to us, look directly in our eyes and engage. So I can see how people can interpret that as flirting, but it really, to me, came across as being very sincere. And my kids remember that to this day. They remember meeting you, so...
Well, that's beautiful. You thought I was flirting with your kids.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's essentially what you just said.
That's what she
said. Well, my daughter is cute, and she was in her 20s, so.
But
you were very sincere.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Also, just
talking to people and saying hi and treating people like humans.
No, so you gazed into his eyes and was like, okay, how you doing?
I try to connect with people. If you take the time to come to my book signing, purchase a book, and stand online, why wouldn't I have a moment with you?
Oh, no, I'm talking about the moment in Atlanta.
I don't even remember this dude you're talking about.
I bet you don't.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up? This is B.
What's up, B? You got an incident with Charlamagne flirting with you, too?
Nah. I'm just saying, like, I get what he's saying, though. It's almost like you got to go out of your way, you know what I'm saying, to, like, as far as if you just, like, talking to a gay person, you're nice to a gay person, because if you're too nice, then that gaydar go off.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like it's given. So, you know, I'm kind of with Charlamagne in that regard.
Yeah, I don't understand why I got to be given just because I was nice to you.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, peace. It's Finesse, peace. Grand Rise and everybody, man.
Finesse, peace.
Grand. Don't say Grand Rise, we not biscuits.
Oh, Grand Beginners.
Yes, all right, sir. So we're talking about Charlamagne and what he did this weekend. You know, we're trying to figure the difference between complimenting somebody and somebody flirting. What's your thoughts, bro?
I feel flirting is at a different exchange of energy. As far as when it comes, when a woman is going to acknowledge you, she's going to give you that mindful know, like, yo, listen, I'm looking at you, I'm observing you, and this is what I want. But at the end of the day, if you don't read the signs, you don't read it. Like I said, like, it's an energy exchange. If you don't accept that energy exchange, then you ain't going to find nothing else in that. A compliment is just, it's just like, yo, you looking good. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. I don't need your number. I don't need your Instagram. I don't need nothing. You just made me feel good about myself today. Thank you, Kum. I mean, I don't have a problem saying, yo, brother, those some nice sneakers, or yo, how you doing? You got a beautiful smile. Or, I mean, like that said, just keep it moving. I don't got to get to know you after that.
Wait, tell a brother that he got a beautiful smile and keep it moving.
Nah, so if a dude comes to you and say, yo, bro, you got a beautiful smile, that's not flirting?
No.
No, it's not, because I'm very comfortable with who I am as a man. I mean, I'm a father at the end of the day. If you felt comfortable saying that to me, then that you would have a good soul in you, bro. Yeah. I mean, and I look at you as having a good soul at the end of the day, because a lot of people can't get up and say, well, that's gay. Well, that's the thing. If you're comfortable with what you do, then you don't got to worry about being gay or not, bro.
That's right. And you can tell a man he look good, like, brother, you look good. Because, you know, like, you see somebody and if they looking healthy, skin looking right, teeth looking right.
I would love for an older guy, for my son to look dapper. Yeah, you look kind of dapper, young man. That's the same compliment. Don't look at it no different way. You're just saying it in a different mindset.
Okay. So let me ask you a question, Jess.
I was going to ask you a question.
You with your boyfriend, right? Uh-huh. Y'all out and about. Mm-hmm. And a dude come up to him and be like, hey, you.
Mm-hmm. You look like Whitney Griner.
Smile. That's not gonna be like, yo, what? That's not like a, yo.
Like, hey, you got a beautiful smile.
Yeah.
The hey, the pause, then the you. Like, no, first of all, it's how you doing, bro. Don't ever hey you, my man, and then be like,
yeah, that's gay.
You got a beautiful smile. Don't hey you.
Yeah, if you lead with hey you, that's gay.
Okay.
Hey you.
Okay. Hey you.
You got a beautiful smile. That's gay.
Yeah, because like, I'm not alone.
But when do you say you have a beautiful smile? That's not
all right. All right, so look, let me ask you a question. Okay. So say you at the barbershop, right?
I'm at the barbershop.
And you sitting in a chair and your barber just finished lining up your face and everything.
Painting it on.
Shut up, guys.
And then you look in the mirror. He give you the mirror for the finishing product, and he like, yo, you got a beautiful smile, Envy. What you gonna do?
He licked his lips like that?
No, he just looking at you eye to eye. Yo, you got a beautiful smile, Envy.
Right, I'm gonna feel funny, right? Because I'm gonna tell you why. Because his crotch is usually near your arm when he's cutting your hair,
and they in your face,
and they in your face.
Yep. You're overly gay in this. Like, this, there's no reason to make this gay. Like, there was no, like, who's thinking like that? Like, that's a gay brain.
Oh my God.
I'm serious.
It's a gay brain.
His crotch. Who's thinking like that?
Yo, Ray, if a man come up to you and be like, yo, you got a beautiful smile, how you feeling?
I'm going to think it's a little gay.
See?
Yeah. And that's Ray. Ray don't be doing all that.
I compliment men on their teeth. Like, if guys come up here and we doing interviews,
right?
I like when to see brothers that have either went to get the veneers.
Yeah.
Or you can
it's
tell
veneers,
they
taking care not veneers. Not veneers. It's veneers, not veneers.
Like, I like to see that people mouth. Taking care of their mouth.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, oh, you got a pretty mouth. I'm like, yo, now you got nice teeth. Like, oh, you got... Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, you just told 5 of your foreign and he has a nice mouth. Yeah, you did.
That's it. He had nice teeth.
Okay, you got nice teeth.
Yes. You did tell Kingsley you like his head.
Who?
Yeah.
Kingsley. The one that played Bob Marley.
Bob Marley, the one who turned into like Bob Marley right before.
Yeah, you say he got a nice big head.
Yeah.
You did say that.
You got a nice big head. That fits you.
That never happened.
Yes, you did. All right. What's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is your man was lying. Okay.
Oh my God.
Ain't nobody was flirting with him.
I
said hello. I don't even remember being nice to him.
Maybe he took it the wrong way. But you definitely, it's something about you when you be walking up and you know you probably had on your boots.
Nah, he was probably But he be assaulting his mouth though. He be assaulting his own mouth though.
Yeah, I don't know. Cause Charlamagne got a little swag. Y'all gotta see him outside this chair. And he be walking up all swaggy and the guy turned around. He was like, oh my God, you Charlamagne? He's funny. Yeah, I am. What's up? How you doing? You know what I mean?
I ain't saying all of that.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
oldest girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't even remember meeting this human.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Yeah, sure. Now you don't remember meeting him.
From now on, security. Mush him. Keep him away from me.
Okay. All right. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne the Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Tab time.
Who's celebrating her birthday next week.
I am this weekend.
This weekend.
Wow. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tabitha Brown, welcome.
How
thank
are you?
I'm amazing. If I was any better, I'd be two people.
Hey. I love that hoodie.
Thank
Freedom
you.
Freedom over code switching. What's that mean?
Well, you know, I spent a very long time code switching and conforming, mm-hmm. and that's not freedom. Mm-hmm. And so I no longer live that way. Mm-hmm. And so I always tell people, honey, we got to choose freedom over code switching.
Mm.
We're enough just as we are, even if we're from the country, even if we're from the South.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a thing, so I promote that all the time.
There you go.
I feel like I know you, because I told you, like, when I saw you over the summer, I'm like, well, my kids watched Tabitha
yes.
Brown all the time
yes.
on YouTube. And then, you know, my wife has the cookbooks, the vegan cookbooks around the house. Like, she was giving them out as gifts to people.
I love
so
it.
Like,
thank
dang.
You, girl. Yeah.
And we got to congratulate her on her Emmy as well.
Yes.
She just won an Emmy.
Oh, thank
back
you.
In December. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
how did that
you.
Feel?
It still feels surreal,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I feel grateful to have won for just like being myself, right? But something so powerful that it's for children. But I it still feels like it didn't happen.
Mm.
It feels like a dream almost. But the crazy thing is, there's another side of that it feels completely normal. It's a weird feeling.
It's yours.
Yeah, it like, feels like, oh, this is what God intended for my life.
Absolutely.
But the other side of it is like, did that really happen? So, but yeah.
How did the internet change your life?
Shoot, honey, in every way. You know, I still am an actress, but for a long time, you know, I was pursuing acting and mm-hmm. nobody really knew me from, you know, acting. And I started doing content, doing, you know, videos, not because I wanted to, but I had a dream and God spoke to me and told me to start doing videos.
Mm.
And I was like, no, I don't want to do that, you know. But I was also trying to live a life of obedience. I started, and nobody was watching. And I was like, well, God, you told me to do this, and ain't nobody showing up on these videos to watch. Why do you have me doing this? And I started in August of 2017 doing videos. And by December 30th, one of my videos went viral.
Which one?
It was a TTLA. I was eating a sandwich in my car because I was driving Uber. Mm-hmm. And because I was on disability for over a year because I was so sick. And when I started feeling better after going vegan, I started driving Uber. And I was like, you know what? I had a job before. I didn't want to get stuck back in a 9-to-5. So I told my husband, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go drive Uber. We live in LA. I'm going to probably get discovered in my car. In my mind, I'm thinking, mm-hmm. I'm going to you know, pick up a producer or director or something. I stopped by Whole Foods because I dropped somebody off. I was like, I'm going to go ahead and get me a little breakfast because I'm still a new vegan at that time. Mm-hmm. And I got a sandwich and did a review on it because I was my videos when I first started, I was just telling people I'm going vegan. When I find new vegan options, I'm just going to share it. Mm-hmm. By the time I got home, the video had like 50 some thousand views. And I was like, wait a minute, who watching this video?
So you was Keith Lee before Keith Lee?
Listen, I love that's my nephew. Mm-hmm. But the next morning had like over 100,000 views. And I was like, I told my husband, I said, I think I'm going viral. He was like, what that mean? I was like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And 4 days later, Whole Foods reached out. I was like, we saw your video because I got the sandwich from there, and they wanted to partner with me. I became their brand ambassador, and
went
on to do so many campaigns, and it's been on ever since then.
Now, why'd you switch to vegan for people that don't know?
So I got sick. So January of 2016, I woke up one morning, and I had this headache in the back of my head. And I had a car accident in high school, so I'm used to like waking up sometime and the back of my neck is tight and sometime it goes into my head. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was one of those episodes. But this headache rested in the back of my head for a year and 7 months.
Wow.
And it started to, you know, affect my body. And so I started to fall when I would walk. Everything was all out of whack. I just did not feel well. So every time I went to the doctor, they were doing so many tests. They was doing MRIs trying to figure out what is wrong. So they told me, they was like, we know it's something autoimmune that's attacking your body. We just can't figure it out. Mm-hmm. I lost my vision for a day. Wow. It was a really bad time for me. And I took every drug the doctor offered me. I was like a guinea pig because you are desperate to feel better. And if anything, it probably made me worse. Nothing was working. And so my daughter came home from school one day and she was like, mommy, we saw this documentary at school today. I think you should watch it. And I don't know if you know teenagers, honey, but it ain't every day they come home and tell you to watch a documentary. Right. And so it was What the Health on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know what? Let's watch it together as a family. So I watched it. And when they started talking about not all diseases are hereditary, sometimes you can eat the same thing in your family that will cause the same disease in your bloodline. And so that was kind of like a light bulb moment for me. My mama died at 51 of a rare disease, ALS. My daddy is now 72, but he's the oldest man to ever live in my family.
Wow.
People get sick at young ages in my family, and they die at young ages in my family. And the only thing I could think of that we had in common was how we ate. Now, I wasn't a bad eater because I was in L.A., but I wasn't eating to feel well. I was eating to look a certain way, which is also a sickness.
Mm.
And so,
what you mean eating to look a certain way?
So I'm not
the Hollywood image.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I wasn't eating to like, oh, let me put this in my body so I can be well. I was like, oh, let me put this in my body so I don't gain weight.
Gotcha.
You understand? Mm-hmm. But I still wasn't, a terrible eater. I haven't eaten red meat or pork since I was 15. And I was like, okay. And I'm allergic to dairy like most people. But I also was like, it's the only thing I haven't tried. So I told my husband, let's do like a 30-day vegan challenge.
Your husband did it too?
So for 30 days. And so on like day 10, the headache I had every day for a year and 7 months disappeared.
Wow.
And I was like, wait a minute, I'm on to something. And after that, every day I started getting energy again because I had chronic fatigue and I had chronic panic attacks. Because when you're sick and you know something is wrong, but the doctor's saying, well, we can't figure it out, it makes you have anxiety.
Absolutely,
and
of course.
Depression. And so I started getting energy again because I would sleep all day, all night. Like I would just be exhausted all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so energy started coming back. My head, was feeling better. I was starting to feel like myself again. And so that day, when day 30 came, I told my husband, I was like, this is going to be my life. I'm going to go vegan. He was like, well, tomorrow I'm going to need a piece of chicken tab. Like, this is going to be. Right. And so, but I always tell people that part because sometimes the journey that may change your life or save your life, you got to be willing to go on it alone. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right. And so I ain't never looked back. That's why.
All right, we got more with Tabitha Brown. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Tabitha Brown. Charlamagne?
I got so many questions. Number one, you said something earlier about God spoke to you.
Mm-hmm.
What does God sound like?
For me?
Yeah.
So I always tell people, I get asked that a lot. Now, I am gifted in a different way than most people. So for me, I can hear like your voice. I can hear sometimes it sounds like a flutter, like a hummingbird would be close to my ear. So it's like a wind and it's a flutter, but you can hear sound in it. I can see it. I can dream it. I'm a seer, but in my dreams, like my dreams can speak to me and mm-hmm. things come to pass. So that's what it sounds like for me. For most people who are always trying to figure out, is this God speaking to me or is this just my thoughts? Mm-hmm. I would tell you that when you think of something, you'll think of it and you may lose the thought later, right? May not even come back to you. But when God is speaking to you, when he's putting something inside of you, it won't let you rest. It'll keep coming back.
That's right.
And so that's how you can kind of mm-hmm. decipher. And then sometimes he will use a voice that's familiar to you. And when you gift it, sometimes it do feel like you're crazy. And other people think that as well. But now, of course, I know like, oh, no, this is just my gift. And I don't hide it anymore. I don't stray away from it. I wrote about it in my first book because I wanted people to know, like, this is me. If you want to rock with Tab, honey, this is who I really am. I don't hide that part of me anymore. So,
wow. When you say wow. you have gifts, are you clairvoyant? Are you like a medium?
I call it, I'm a seer, mm-hmm. right? It's just, you know, that's a gift that God gave me. Mm-hmm. I was born with it. It's been that way, yeah, my whole life. I feel like we all have discernment. Mm-hmm. We just don't all lean into it, mm-hmm. right? But for me, as a little girl, would dream about people I've never met before and wake up and tell my mom and dad, they're like, oh, I such and such. And they'd be like, that person been dead 20 years. Like, you would never know that person, right? I can remember being at my grandfather's funeral, but they're like, you would, 10 months old, there's no way for you to remember that. Mm. I don't know. And I can't control it. That's the thing. It just happens. Like, I can be talking to you and something can just appear that I can see. And it may be for you or it may be to protect me. It just depends. Mm-hmm. But I have no control over that.
I was going to ask you, so, you know, North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
So now you pick up your family and you move to L.A.
Yes.
How was that conversation with your husband and your child? And let's just go to L.A., a place we don't know. We got to find a new job.
Even this good Carolina
app. Yeah. It's crazy because at first my husband was like, so in 98, I moved to California in pursuit of acting, but I wasn't in L.A. And I was like in Orange County. And I didn't tell my husband, he was my boyfriend at the time, like how bad it was. I didn't tell nobody. I was renting a room from somebody who was like taking all my money. But, you know, I'm like young, I'm like 19. I really want to get this dream out of me and I want to do something. Mm-hmm. And so our plan was for him to move out a couple months later, you know, and then we would get our own place. But when he moved out and saw how I was living, he was like, now, this is crazy. He's like, you working two jobs to survive. You ain't nowhere near L.A. You're not pursuing acting. He was like, we need to move back to North Carolina so that we can save up money because it's cheaper. He was like, we can stay for 1 year, then move back to L.A. so you can really pursue your dreams. That 1 year turned into 5 years and a forgotten dream, right, until I had that experience that morning. Mm-hmm. So when I told my husband after I worked that job for like a year, I was like, now it's time for us to move back to L.A. He was like, nah. I was like, well, listen, I can go out there, but like I can feel it calling me and I can come back and forth. He was like, oh, no, we're not going to do that.
So, I can imagine those arguments. You going to go where
right?
and leave me with
and
this?
And I don't know what money I thought I had that I could be bi-coastal, okay, right. and go back and forth. I don't know what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. But we saved up like $8,000, mm-hmm. Took us some months, and we moved to L.A. And we first got there, we was living in Baldwin Hills. And my husband, I mean, we both from the same hometown. You know, we from Eden. It's a very small town in North Carolina. And our apartment, I had flew out there to find our apartment because back then my husband used to be afraid to fly. Mm-hmm. You know, people from the country, they'd be like, I ain't getting on no plane, you know. So I had went back and forth to find us a place. And I had found a cute, this spot was cute to me, mm-hmm. right? But it did have the bars on the window because most of them do in L.A., right? So, but we weren't used to that. But I didn't tell him because in my mind, I thought it was nice. And it was. It did turn out to be nice.
Was he able to bring his gun with him?
Yeah, he did, actually.
Okay.
You know what? He did. He did.
He from the Carolinas, I already know.
He did. But when we got there, he was hot. He was mm-hmm. like, you what? As we were like right off Crenshaw. He was like, what? Hey, we got a daughter. I was like, babe, I didn't scoped it out. This is a good area. I promise you. And because there was, you know, that was when the reality show Baldwin Hills was out. Remember that? Mm-hmm. I said, we live in Baldwin Hills. It's just that we don't live in View Park, but where we park, we can see the view. Like, I was trying to sell it on
good, right.
But he got used to it over time. But, you know, in the beginning, we was at odds for a while. But, you know, we stayed there for 5 years and we loved it.
Wow. One of the moments that we all saw that went viral was when you retired your husband. And, you know, Wendy Williams had made some statements about you. And the way you responded with such grace and such love. It was almost like I hope you heal.
Absolutely.
Hope you heal moment. Do you respond like that always?
In this season of my life, yes. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the old Tab probably would have had that get back spirit, right? Mm-hmm. But she didn't even know me. And I don't know her other than knowing her from, you know, her career. Mm-hmm. But you can also tell when somebody is hurt. And we've all been through things that mm-hmm. cause us to project and feel a certain way. But I'm not going to exhaust energy and give anybody control over me to anger me, mm-hmm. right? So, but also I just love people. Despite what anybody have to say about me, there's so many people now that hate me, that don't know me, but I love them. Mm-hmm. It also makes me want to love harder in the world because people are hurting, right? You know, a lot of people think that I'm fake because I'm nice. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm compassionate. Mm-hmm. I've held my mama's hand while she died. Like, I've seen death so many times. Like, I have also almost lost my life. Why would I not be happy and joyful? I'm still here.
That's right.
Right? So it hurts my heart for other people when I know that they're just hurting and they don't mean any harm in a way that it's really they're trying to make themselves feel better.
They're projecting.
Right, projecting. And so the harm is really they're doing it to themselves because they're not, instead of projecting, you should be trying to heal yourself mm-hmm. and get what you need to feel better. But I don't know.
Did you get a lot of flack for it? Because, you know, what it told me during that time is people don't understand love.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You love your husband.
I do.
You're financially fine and you can make sure that he's okay.
Yes.
You know, and it doesn't matter if he's a man, he's a woman, or what he is. You love him and you had the opportunity to retire, man. And men do it for women all the time. So I didn't see it. Did you get a lot of flack for it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of people had something to say about it, but that's their opinion. I don't care. That ain't my business. Mm-hmm. But I also realized that a lot of people don't understand partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I've been with my husband 26 years.
Amazing.
More than half my life. Right? Most people don't even understand that.
How did he feel?
He felt amazing. But after, what people don't know is I had been trying to retire my husband for like 2 years. We had enough money. And he was like, that money came too quick, babe. I don't want to do that to you. No.
Like, just in case.
Yeah. He was like, nah, I know 1 + 1 = 2. We don't know. Because he also has watched me in Hollywood over 20 years not get jobs for 6 months or 2 years.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Years or whatever, he was like, we can't count on this new money, right? And so I was like, babe, I promise you, I got the amount of money that we have always said, if we have this amount of money in the bank, taxes been paid, we don't owe nobody, that you would retire. And he was like, all right, let me think about it. He took a leave first. He just was like, I don't want that on your back, you know, even though he has a nonprofit. But it wasn't going to make the, you know, coming straight out, he wasn't going to make the kind of money he was making before. And I was like, but now you can build it. Now you can do all the things you wanted to do, right? So it took him a while. But afterwards, now, listen, right now, what time is that baby might be on the golf course, okay? Listen, he worked with his kids 3-4 days a week, but he'd be on that golf course. He is feeling it now.
Enjoying
life.
He
feels good about it, absolutely.
All right, we got more with Tabitha Brown when we come back. Beyonce, she's getting an innovative award at the iHeartRadio Awards tonight. So let's get into a mini mix. It's the Breakfast Club. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Tabitha Brown. Charlamagne?
Let's talk about this book. I did a new thing. Your new book?
Yes, absolutely.
30 Days to Living Free. Mm-hmm. What is living free to Tabitha Brown?
Freedom over code switching, mm-hmm. right? We talked about that. But living free is like taking an opportunity to do something, even if it scares you, right? Just doing something new, right? I started doing this challenge in 2014. Mm-hmm. I was really just in search of like getting to know myself better because I still was not free. And I would do something new, whether it be with my kids or by myself, and just to see how it would open my mind and how it would make me feel. And so I did that over the years, and I would always, you know, learn something new about myself. Like I discovered my love for hiking, and I was like, oh shoot, I never would have thought that I would love hiking. And then now it's something that I have continued to do over the years. And so I was like, if I do this again, I think I want to write a book. So last year I did it for 30 days and I journaled it and made it into a book. And my hope was that other people want to, you know, live free and try new things. And the other thing about freedom, in order to like really go out and do something new, that's the only way you're going to know if you love something or you don't like it, right? you have to be willing to be like, I don't care. I just want to find out. Let me just see, right? So, and it also could be something as simple as, I'm going to wear my hair different. Mm-hmm. Like right now I'm doing my hair name is Donna. So I'm doing, while I'm on tour, I'm making a new hairstyle every day.
You said his name is Donna?
Yeah, her name Donna.
Like it's Donna Summers or?
Oh, it's just Donna. Well, I named her after Don King because...
It looks more put together than Don King's.
Today, absolutely, yeah. Okay, today. Okay. But she got her name because when I was, I did the big chopping when she was growing back. One night I was cooking live and it was like straight up in the top. I was like, why is that piece of hair, you know, sticking straight up, mm-hmm. looking like Don King? I was like, I'm going to have to call her Donna. And it stuck.
It stuck.
Yeah.
I love that you dedicated your new book to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why was that important to do?
Because, honey, I'm the one who made the decision to choose myself.
That's right.
Right? And I made the decision to stop being afraid and to live my life my way and to try new things. And the biggest thing I ever did for 30 days was go vegan, and it saved my life. And I was like, girl, this is for you, Tab. I pray that I forever and always do new things. Every day I want to do that for the rest of my life.
Mm. I was going to ask, you know, so many people listening, right? And how did you know not to give up, right? Because I'm sure there's somebody listening right now that's been trying music for 10 years and it didn't work. And somebody that's trying acting and it didn't work. Somebody that's trying to be in a chef. Somebody that's trying to be an author. Somebody that's trying to do something online and creating videos and nobody's watching.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably said, I felt I got a sign.
Yeah.
When do you tell them to say, maybe that's not the sign and maybe to change? Or, you know, how do you tell somebody to continue to keep doing what they're doing? Because you could have gave up so many times.
Yeah. I would never really tell anybody to give up, right? If you think God has given you a sign, then trust the signs. For me, it was always signs. And that's confirmation. If it won't let you rest, if you try to give up and it won't let you, those are the signs that we have to not ignore. But also we have to kind of ignore the noise of people who tell you you can't.
Mm-hmm.
But also we have to be honest with ourselves. If you are not really doing the work for the dream that you have, is it really your dream?
That's right.
Right? Because sometimes it might be a goal. And the difference between a goal and a dream is a goal is something that you create. A dream is deposited inside of you. God does that. You don't make up a dream. It lives inside of you. So be honest with yourself. Do you want it because you see somebody else with it? Do it look cool to you? Do you just want to make money? Or is it something that won't let you rest?
Now, another chapter, do something that breaks the rules, but not the law.
I tell people that all the time. Like, you know, some rules are set by us, you know, by people, as well as laws, right? But
I know your kids come back with you all the time. Mommy said, break the rules. It's not the law.
Exactly, right. Exactly. But I talk about this in the book that, you know, I had got invited to a party, you know, and it was a strict dress code where they wanted you to wear black. I don't like wearing black. This is about as black as it gets for me. I love color. It makes me happy. When I wear like all black, it makes me feel weird.
Think like, about funerals and all kinds of
stuff. Yeah, I don't know. Like even at funerals, like in my family, we wear a lot of colors or we wear white. But it just makes me feel a little, I don't know, maybe sad. And I realize that if I do wear it, I got to have like a pop of color in my lips or something. I don't know. But I was like, I don't want to wear black to this thing. I got to figure something out. So I found like, I had this, it was like a blazer, but it was, the background was black, but it had a bunch of colors and patterns on it. And I wore like some black bell bottom pants. Got there and a lot of other people hadn't wore black. And so I was like, this is why we can break the rules sometimes. You know, I could have said, okay, I'm going to wear all black and been uncomfortable all night and then got there and been mad like, look at other people. They ain't wearing what they said we're supposed to wear, right? So that's what I mean by that. Sometimes we can break the rules, just don't break the law.
So you ain't never going to follow no dress code? If it's an all-white party or nothing?
She
said she's going to wear white, but she's all black. She'll wear some color black.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I will wear it, but it's going to have a little something that make me feel like Tab.
Gotcha.
You know, because I also want to go in and be myself, you know, so.
Do something that requires you to face your losses.
Oh,
that's a powerful one.
So, I had a restaurant, right? And when I had my restaurant, it was a partnership. And we had a lot of problems with the building. And so, because the Kale My Name is a restaurant in Chicago that I fell in love with. So when he came to L.A., I was like, oh, I'll partner with you and open a restaurant with you. I didn't know the restaurant business. But this building gave us a lot of issues. And so we ultimately had to close. And so I was like, oh man, it felt like a loss to me, because I had had, you know, so much happening. People would come in. People would come from all over to just meet me at the restaurant. And I wasn't there every day, but on the weekends or whenever I could, I would go and just be there all day to make sure I got to see people when they came. We ended up having to shut it down. And I was like really kind of hurt about it, you know, for a while. And I really couldn't talk about it because we were having legal problems with the, you know, the building owner, because it was a whole thing. When it was time to do my taxes, now I've been carrying this like, man, I feel so bad about it. I realized that the loss had really blessed me.
It was a win.
It was a win, right? And so I was like, sometimes we got to look at the loss for what it is. Maybe it ain't a loss, you know, but also it opened up doors for me. And now I have, you know, my food and stuff at Target. So I was like, it won't necessarily a loss. You know, we can't look always look at them, you know, things like that. So it actually blessed me because I ain't have to pay as much.
Oh, let's flex a little bit, Tabitha. Let's run some of this stuff down now. So you got deals with Target. Who else? Come on. No need to be humble in this moment. Act like a rapper right now. You know, you got the Tab Time booming on YouTube.
I do.
You got deals with Target. You got book deals. Mm-hmm. What else?
I have my own seasoning.
Okay, yes.
With McCormick Spice. I have six of those.
Fridays with Tab and Chance.
I do have Fridays with Tab and Chance. I do Very Good Mondays, where I bless small businesses every Monday. Mm-hmm. Of course, I have my own merch. Mm-hmm. That feel weird to just name everything, but... I don't even, you know, I still do my acting thing. You know, I've launched a production company in a partnership with Stephen Love, with Made with Love Media. Yeah, I don't know.
Tabitha Brown, I can sit here and talk to you forever.
New book. I did a new thing. We appreciate you for joining us. Thank you so much.
Don't be a stranger. Absolutely.
Should I end it how I end my video?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, listen, first of all, thank y'all for having me. I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all. Y'all go on about y'all business, all right? Have the most amazing day. But even if you can't have a good one, don't you dare go messing up nobody else's here. God bless y'all. Love y'all.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Damn, the hee-haw again.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
I ain't trying to be Donkey today no more.
They should be embarrassed by what they already did. I'm not making these people do these things.
Called Donkey of the Day, and it really caught me off guard.
Damn, Charlamagne, who got the Donkey of the Day today?
Well, just hilarious. Donkey of the Day goes to a 32-year-old woman named Courtney L. Davis. Courtney faces felony charges of possession of stolen property, fraud, criminal mischief, burglary, residential entry, obstruction of justice, and false informing, all during Women's History Month. Not only is Courtney facing charges, but she got her husband caught up too. Yes, her husband is facing charges of residential entry and possession of stolen property. Why? Because this woman was lying for no devil damn reason. Now, there's a lot of things women lie to men about, okay? There's a lot of things I've heard women lie to men about. But this is a new one, okay? Okay, this is a new one, all right? Courtney lied to her husband about purchasing a home. And she got arrested after trying to move into a house she never purchased, okay? Let me break this down for you. It's a lot of information, okay? I'm reading this from News Channel 8 on your side. Court documents revealed that an Indiana man thought he and his wife were moving into a brand new home after going through the real estate process and being handed the keys to a house. What her husband didn't know was that his wife faked all the financial documents, submitted to the realtors, and then broke into the home, smashed open the lockbox, and told her husband they were new homeowners. Why? What is the point of a woman faking anything? There's a woman in this building who I overheard having a conversation with Jess Hilarious earlier, saying that she once told a man she orgasmed 3 times. What's the point? What's the point of lying? Imagine lying to a chef that you fool when you really hungry as hell and he's willing and able to cook for you. You just got to tell him what you want and how you want it. Huh? Simple. Listen to this. According to court documents, police officers from the Eaton Police Department were called out to a home on North Chestnut Street at 6:38 p.m. on February 16th after the property owner claimed to have spotted a U-Haul truck outside the home. The owner told police no one was supposed to be at the home, which was vacant and for sale. Officers arrived to the scene to find a couple moving into the house, unloading boxes and brandishing keys to the front door. Courtney told her husband that she and him had purchased the home and had been given the keys by their realtor, who took them out the lockbox after the sale was finalized and handed them over to the new homeowners. Courtney even showed police screenshots of paperwork that showed they had purchased the home. Big big lies, okay? But the story didn't match what the property owner told police. According to the property owner's realtor, the sale of the house was never finalized due to payment never being received. A deeper dive uncovered that not only had the couple not submitted their payment, but the forms handed over to the realtor had been fraudulent. The realtor said they noticed something was off with the forms due to grammatical errors, such as stating, contact you at, instead of contact us at. The police reached out to the couple's realtor, who allegedly handed the pair of keys from the house's lockbox to the couple, only to learn that that too was a lie. The realtor said the sale hadn't been completed and told police she did not hand over the keys from the lockbox. Police ended up discovering that the lockbox had been smashed open and the pieces hidden inside a drawer in the house. When the couple was confronted about their crimes, Courtney told police that her husband had been left in the dark about the fraud. He hadn't been aware of the fraudulent statements or the truth behind the lockbox. Then Courtney did what most women do when they get caught red-handed. She just started spilling her guts, and she confessed that she broke into the home prior to the couple moving in. She said she climbed through windows, unlocked all the doors, and smashed open the lockbox before her husband arrived to move their stuff in. Also, for good measure, the tow truck driven by her husband was reported stolen. Courtney said she let her husband drive this truck because she couldn't drive stick. Come to find out, the truck hadn't been purchased, okay? It had been, well, it had been purchased, but with a bad check. Her husband didn't know about that either. He had no idea the truck was purchased with a bad check. How long did Courtney Davis think these lies were going to last? Mm-mm. She was willing to move all her stuff into a house she knows she didn't own, as if it would be on the market forever. This has to be a violation of marriage vows. There is no way on God's green earth or any of her other planets that I'm supposed to stay with a woman who lies like this. A lie can destroy a relationship in a second, but it can take a lifetime to rebuild the trust. And I only got one of those, so I'm not wasting it on you. I hope Courtney's husband feels the same. Please give Courtney L. Davis the biggest hee-haw. Now, just hilarious.
What?
Regardless of what social media says, you are a woman, a beautiful woman.
Absolutely.
Why are you playing with you?
No.
What's the top three lies you ever told?
To a man.
Oh my God. To anybody, but yeah, a man.
No, to a man.
For real. Okay, so the top one, and I even told Chris this. I don't know. It's just something about you. I don't usually have sex like when I first date. We all do that. Don't be looking at me like that.
Oh my God, no.
Yes, oh my God, yes. And look, and he and I'm pregnant now, and we happy, and yeah.
Does okay. Chris know this, or he just hearing it for the first time?
He ain't listening today, because he got a lot going on.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah.
What's number two?
Oh my God, I remember this one time I lied about being in the hospital so a nigga could call me back. He wasn't trying to call me back, and I was like,
call me back, I'm dying.
Yeah, I told London, call him and tell him, yeah, like, I'm in a hospital, you know, I'm having an anxiety attack.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time,
a military-trained seduction spy, reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anxiety issues. I'm having anxiety attack, so he can call me back.
Did he call you?
No, he still didn't call me. But Damn. That was a lie. Yes, it was a lie.
Okay, so you lied about not having sex on the first date. Mm-hmm. You lied about being in the hospital. Mm-hmm. What's the third one?
And this one time I was trying to cheat on my ex-boyfriend. I told somebody I broke up with him who wouldn't deal with me because I had a boyfriend. I lied and said I broke up with him just so I could deal with the guy.
Is that Chico from earlier?
Yeah, it is. But I hadn't, understand something. This is before Chico took his head off. This is before a lot of things. Like, I hadn't seen Chico head. Like,
well,
literally.
He had fished you?
Yeah, he had fished me. Mm-hmm. Like, and so, by then, he was already my friend. So I was like, thank God that he dodged me. Because I was like, Jesus Christ. If I had gave him some, and imagine if I walked in that room and he took the head off, like, yeah, what's up? I would have ran for. Yo, I can't do this. I would have quit wilding out and everything. It's no way. No.
Between Courtney Davis and Jess Hilarious, I think, brothers, you should just turn to your woman and give her a little pinch under the arm. Just a little.
Just why? Just in case?
Just in case.
But Courtney do sound like a strong back woman. She moved everything in. This is the strong back.
This is a strong back.
She climbed through the window. She smashed the lockbox. She stole a truck.
She carried everything in. Yeah. She's strong.
Yeah, that's a strong back liar right there. Okay. But listen.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne the Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest on the line, on the Zoom, on the whatever you want to call it. Ludacris, ladies and gentlemen. What up, Luda?
What up, my family? What's going on?
Luda is hosting the iHeartRadio Music Awards on April 1st. That's not an April Fool's joke. It's actually happening.
I was going to say that same thing, but you beat me to it, so it's all good. Yes, I cannot wait to do this. It's my first time hosting the iHeart. It's been a minute since I hosted something, but you know, I'm a big kid. I'm going to have a lot of fun. We're going to bring a lot of energy. Not an April Fool's joke whatsoever, because I like to joke around a lot too, but this ain't no game. It's no game.
Is Fear Factor the last thing you hosted?
Nah, I think the Billboard Awards, if I'm not mistaken. The Billboard Awards 3 years in a row, as a matter of fact.
Now, did you have more fun at the Super Bowl or when you performed in Atlanta when you was hanging from the ceiling, sliding all the way down? Which one did you have more fun?
Envy, that's a hard question. But you know, when I was sliding down the, you know, when I was rappelling down
in
the dome, it wasn't over 100 million people around the world watching me. That was just kind of certain amount. I would have to say the Super Bowl, man, because that was just one of those moments in time where I was nervous for my friend. This boy was on roller skates and all type of stuff, and we know that he practices these things, right. But it was a little different, man. And I just felt the energy from around the world on that day a little bit more than I felt on that rappelling down from the Georgia Dome.
Do you ever get nervous? And I know you perform every weekend and you've done these shows, like that one time, the biggest stage, and you forget a word or you stutter, or did that ever cross your mind at all?
You know, you know what? Lil Jon asked me that before we went on, and I'm going to say something that probably no artist probably ever said. Absolutely, bro. I get nervous all the time. The moment you stop getting nervous is the moment that you don't care. And you know who told me that? May he rest in peace. DMX said that to me, man, and I took that to heart ever since. I'm always nervous right before I hit stage because I care so much. But as soon as I hit that stage, as soon as my voice comes on that mic, all the nervousness goes out the way. But always, always nervous.
Gotcha.
You know, Luda, we're on Zoom, but you know, I can see who's on the Zoom, and I see the good brother Shaka Zulu on the Zoom, man. And it's incredible to see men, especially black men, have such a long, healthy relationship like y'all have. What does it mean to still have Shaka in your life after, you know, especially after what he just went through?
Man, listen, Shaka is my mentor. I don't know if y'all saw when I received my Hollywood Walk of Fame, man, but it occurred to me at that moment that Shaka and his brother Jeff are like the fathers that I've had since my father passed away, man. I started breaking down in tears. So I can say a lot of things, but I hope that makes you understand how much it means to me to have someone like Shaka in my life, man, as a mentor, as a guide, as a friend, as a figure that just continues to keep me on my best behavior and keep me on my toes, man. 100%. We've been in the game over two decades and been rocking with each other, no contract. It was a handshake, and it's been like that ever since.
And that started at radio, right? Hot 107.9?
Yes, 100%.
Wow.
And it was Hot 97.5 at the time. So, man, it's a radio family thing, man. And like we said, this was in Atlanta. We just sold this to BET, by the way, this whole story. I'm doing this for all the radio people.
Nope. Have they got the official green light? I know you got the BET Plus series. Has it got the official green light?
We got the official green light, man. Congrats. I'm gonna do everybody proud.
Have you picked who playing you? Who playing Shaka? Who playing Jeff? Who playing a young Lala? Maybe, I don't know.
Not yet, but we ain't got to that stage yet. But we taking all suggestions. We know you out there producing stuff too, so man, you know, give us your list. We gotta figure this out. We gotta match the right people. Right. You know what I mean? It's got to be as real as possible.
That's right.
You know, look, it's funny. I got my new book coming out, and I wrote about you in the book because I was a young intern at the time, but I remember when you was at Z93 Jams in Charleston, and even though What's Your Fantasy was popping, you came in and ran your own board.
And what?
I'll never forget that. Like, you were doing the interview, but you were like, "Nah, let me run the board." And I'll never forget. I never forget that,
bro. That's crazy. I never forget that. And by the way, you know, I don't just say this, man, because I follow y'all on social media. But your first book, it's an amazing just piece of art and a piece of work.
Dope.
And I'm proud of you because I know this ain't your. This is like your third or fourth one. So, man, congratulations on that. I can't wait to read it. Now, especially now knowing that I'm in the damn thing. Appreciate that, bro.
All right, we got more with Ludacris when we come back. Of course, he's hosting the iHeartRadio Awards. Let's get to a mini mix. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking in with Ludacris. Now, I got to ask, you know, you're a lyricist, and you will bite back anybody that mentions your name. We've seen it with Cat Williams. But now that you're seeing the shots going back and forth with these lyricists, do you enjoy it? Because you feel like hip-hop got a little too... Everybody's too cool with each other.
Listen, I don't care where hip-hop is. I enjoy any time people are coming at each other's necks, like, in the right way. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love what's going on. Like, I was just saying that we're witnessing... You know, you just talked about the Super Bowl. Super Bowl's all about who wants it the most. We witnessing March Madness live about who wants it the most, that competitive. We witnessed in history with LeBron James doing amazing, historic things. And everybody always talks about who's the greatest and who's the best in those debates. I love in hip hop is of no exception. I love in hip hop when people just try to prove to each other, and you got the best of the best. And you know, I'm loving what's going on. I can't wait to see how this plays out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Luda, what you saying that, you know, Nelly was on the shop, and he mm-hmm. said that his era of rap was the toughest and most competitive. Like, so that was your era,
yeah,
too.
Luda got to be in that.
DMX,
yeah,
DMX, J, M, Wayne, 50, and Luda. He said that. Mm-hmm. You know, you actually said your name, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I can't be at all mad at that statement, because I was just on Drink Champs and I was literally talking about how, you know, I went to the award shows and the Grammys, obviously, year after year after year for the first decade. I mean, I'm over here outselling a lot of these artists and I'm losing. And what I mean by that is I was up against DMX. I was up against Jay-Z. I was up against Eminem in these categories mm-hmm. every single time. And I just, you know, I had to keep my head held high. And, you know, after about a decade or so, I finally started winning. But yes, I would say in terms of competition, in terms of going at each other, in terms of subliminals flying, in terms of direct lyrics flying, it was just extremely competitive. Now, I'm sure anybody in their era is going to say that's the toughest era, but I can't be mad at that statement. I feel the same way.
How important is family and your wife to you in keeping that bond fresh, spicy, and new? Like, I seen recently when you gave her, I'm not sure what holiday it was. I think it was her birthday or Christmas, where you made her do obstacle courses to get a bag, and she had to climb. She didn't get it. She couldn't climb. Yeah. But how important is that for you and your relationship?
It's extremely important to keep stuff fresh, man. You can't do the same things over and over again. You got to keep. That's just one thing that's in my nature, though, man. I love constantly just, you know, I love constantly trying new things, especially when it comes to exciting my wife. Right. You know what I mean? So I think it was Valentine's Day again that you're talking about. Yep, and yep. Yeah, I made her do a little obstacle course. I hate doing the same thing over and over.
You made her do obstacles I don't think nobody could do. You made her climb rock walls after climbing rock walls. Like, you made her do a lot. Well, I'm sitting there like, damn,
Louis. Well, he hosted Fear Factor, so that's on brand.
Oh, that's on brand.
I'm an innovator, man. I got to innovate in all walks of my life.
One question I gotta ask you before you go: was Cat Williams ever really offered you a role in Fast and Furious?
No, he never. He never. I don't. Not that I know of. You said, was he offered a role?
Yeah, because he said, didn't he? If I'm not mistaken, I could be misquoting this. I thought he said on Club Shay Shay, they offered him the role, but he didn't take it because he wasn't willing to do the compromising things that they needed.
Allegedly.
Yeah. And to answer your question, I wouldn't be the right person to ask that question. I have no idea if he was offered a role in the Fast or not. I do know that I saw him at Rick Ross's crib some years back, and everything was perfectly fine. But he's a comedian, you know. He tells jokes, so it is what it is.
So you didn't take offense to nothing, even when he was saying things like, "Oh, you know, it's about seven people with ugly light skinned wives. If you do this and you do that, you get an ugly light skinned wife in movie roles."
Charlamagne, it was so laughable what he said that I was just like, I couldn't believe what he was saying. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I took it as laughable because he's a comedian, and that's why I kind of responded with some laughable stuff.
Absolutely.
Could you beat him in a foot race?
You know what? That's a good question. That's a great question. I don't know. We'd have to see. Because he is fast out there, for sure.
Well, tonight, April 1st, Ludacris hosts the iHeartRadio Music Awards. And we got to get you up here in person. I know you running around doing your thing, but next time you're in New York, you got to stop through.
Yeah,
brother.
It's going to be on Fox tonight.
Absolutely. I'll see y'all at the awards show, man. All love. Appreciate y'all. Yes,
all right, it's Ludacris. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate y'all.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for a positive note. What we got?
I do, man. I have a positive note, and it's really simple. Normalize talking highly about yourself. All right? No small talk to self, okay? Normalize talking highly about yourself. You deserve it.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
You don't finish or y'all?
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, Centratech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.